through this past program year, we have been exploring the Gospel of John at a variety of venues in a series of sermons on the light last fall that Dr. McDonald preached and several adult education forums. And today, again, as we have been through Lent, we are preaching in the Gospel of John. And today's lesson is from John chapter 20. Listen for the word of God. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Mary starts in the darkness. She's living now in a world of gloom. They have killed her Lord. She goes to the grave. The tombstone is off. The grave is open. She had gone through the worst thing imaginable. And crucifixion is now imprinted upon her imagination. Traumatized, crucifixion has now conditioned her to think in terms of the worst thing imaginable, no matter where she looks. She is now forever after conditioned and condemned to assume the worst of the world. Notice her words to the disciples. "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb." The same word to the angels. "They have taken away my Lord." They language. It's the language of conspiracy. They. An amorphous, anonymous anxiety expressing free-floating fear. The world where they are in charge and she barely exists. They seem to be in control. You know what they always say. They say jobs are gone, they're not coming back. They say the climate may be changing, but there's nothing we can do. They say there was war in the Middle East, but there's always been war in the Middle East. There's nothing the world can do. The truth is, we live most of our days living in the world of they. Mary comes to the tomb. It's open. Without even looking inside, she already assumes the answer. They have taken him. She fills in the blanks and anticipates the worst. It's just like they say. The world is a horrible, brutal place. We need to start putting locks on our graves, I guess. That's what they tell us. They seem to have truncated the world, desecrated it, domesticated it, reified it, objectified it. It's a world of they, and it comes down to this. They have taken away the life. Mary comes to the tomb. It's not just the darkness of night. She now lives in a 24-hour-a-day darkness, the world of they. The angels speak to Mary, and Mary cannot hear the message of the angels. Jesus speaks to her, and she can't hear the message of Jesus. She thinks it's the gardener. She thinks he's part of the conspiracy, part of the they who took the body. She answers like a whipped puppy. She whimpers, "Just tell me where you put him. I won't tell anyone." "Mary," Jesus says. Jesus says, "Mary." And Mary turns around, which is to say, her life turns around. She's stepped out of the world of they, and all of a sudden, she's stepped into the world of the resurrection. It happens when Jesus calls her by name. Because when you're crying in the gloom, when it's all gotten far beyond the point of your ability to bear it, when you think you can't stand one more minute and the tears come pouring out in utter and sheer hopelessness, the only thing that makes any difference at all is when Jesus calls you by name. The resurrection is an experience. The resurrection, it's not a doctrine, it's an experience of the disciples of the Lord. Somehow, it's not explained how, but the truth of the matter is, Jesus surprises Mary there. In that place of death, Mary is overwhelmed with the life. Jesus calls Mary by name. That Christ is a presence, not some memory of long ago, but a presence that encounters her. And you know, the gift that we have been given is, throughout history, the history of the church, there are millions who have shared that experience. It started with Mary and went to the disciples who were so dispirited at his trial, who deserted him at his hour of greatest suffering and then at his death. But now, all of a sudden, they experience the risen Lord calling them by name. And their lives turn around and they leave the world of they, and the disciples enter into that world of the resurrection. And they become 10 times the people they ever were before. They experience the living presence. They have the openness and the courage to listen for the living Lord. And that's our invitation today. When Jesus addresses us, he seeks to call us by name, like Mary, to call each and every one of you by name. Like Mary, inviting us to turn around and to stop thinking we know how the world works, to stop existing in the world of they, and to start living in the world and the land of Easter. The world has changed for us on this Easter day. We move from a world of suspicion and paranoia and fear and into a world of truth. We move from a world of gloom and into a world of love. We turn from the darkness to the light. And as Mary saw the light and lived in the light, and the light shined on her, so it shines on us this Easter day. And we recognize and proclaim, there's no stolen body, there's a risen body. There's no degradation, there's a transformation. There's not an ending, it's a new beginning for each and every one of us. The first words out of Mary's mouth are Rabboni, which means teacher, it means Lord, it means my Lord, teach me how to live in this new world, this world of resurrection, because that is where we are. I think the witness of people in the church is crucial for us. You know, the first thing that Jesus does is to tell Mary, go tell the disciples what you have experienced. That's the dynamic of the church, as people go tell what they have experienced with the living Lord. One seminary professor talks about when he was a church intern providing pastoral care. One of the families was quite large. Their youngest child, Robert, had cerebral palsy. When the intern visited, the family would usually gather together in the den, laughing and telling stories, but not Robert. Robert always stayed outside the room in the hall watching the others. One day when the intern called, just the mom and Robert were home. After some small talk, she told the intern about an experience that she had a few days before. Robert was standing in the darkness down the hall, watching from a distance. The mother felt what she described as a strange shift in the room, and she looked up from her knitting down the hall, and she said, "I saw Jesus with his arm around Robert's shoulder." She looked away, and she looked again, and there was only Robert. Now, you know what they say. They say maybe it was the shadow of a cloud outside playing tricks with the light that day. Maybe. And they say that that sort of thing is probably a psychological projection of her guilt. Maybe. Or maybe she saw Jesus because Jesus was there. In that moment, that mother started a new relationship with her son. And then she got to work in the community and started a number of programs for children with special needs. I want to say I'm glad she had that experience. And I'm glad she told someone about it. That's why I tell you. Or another story of Elam Davis. He was a well-known Presbyterian preacher. He came from Wales. He and his wife had driven to the top of a local Welsh landmark to watch the sunset. That evening, there was a spectacular display as the sun was going down over the waters, and it seemed like all God's kaleidoscope was spread before them, some cosmic canvas. And then they noticed a beat-up old car pull up nearby, and a rickety elderly couple get out of the front and walk slowly to the rear door and open the back door, and there in the back seat lay their adult son, fully grown, physically incapacitated, so much so he couldn't sit up. With a great mix of effort combined with great gentleness, the two of them managed to help him sit up and slide his legs around and hold him facing the door. It was then that Davis saw their son could not even hold up his head. Right then, as the sun was going down in all its magnificence in its final burst of glory, the father very gently took his fingers and put them under the son's chin and lifted his head, lifted it to see. And yes, the sun was beautiful that evening, a glorious cosmic sunset, but the most magnificent sight was the love in the hearts of two elderly parents letting their son know, "There it is, and there, my boy, you are, and you matter. You matter." I think the Lord is risen there too. As for me, I experienced the risen Lord in various places. One time it was when Maya Angelou was speaking at the Lead Center a few years ago. I don't think everybody has to experience the Lord the same way. That's part of the story of the Gospel of John. There's many different experiences. This was just mine. Maya Angelou shared this poem, this powerful poem, "Still I Rise." In part, it goes like this. "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes? shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, 'cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. I don't know. I just hear the resurrected Lord somewhere in the midst of the experience of hearing her say that poem. Because for us, I think Jesus rises from the dust and overcomes all those beset with gloom. Jesus, the hope of God, who shows up in all these impossible places, springing high. Jesus, the bowed, the broken down, the fallen, leaping up from the grave. Jesus, the lashed, the tortured, the killed with hate, filled by God with air and light and life. Jesus, the haughtiness of God, offending the darkening principalities and powers with a vindicating hope of those who live in the light. Mary experiences this risen Lord. She tries to reach out and grab the resurrected Jesus, and Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me." Mary learns you can't hold on to past experiences of the resurrection. Does he need to say this to us too? He's the light of the world, but you can't hold on to light. He's the living word, and you can't grasp a word, but you can speak it again. You can go tell what you have experienced. Because Jesus is this living hope who has given to all who have given up hope a reason to live again. He's the way, the truth, the life, and you can't grasp any of them, but you can experience them when you hear Jesus call your name and when you share that story with those around you. The principalities and powers of the world, they wanted Jesus stopped dead in the tomb. They could not stop him because the risen Lord is alive and dynamic and on the move and showing up here and there, now and then, in unexpected times and places. No tomb is going to hold him. The resurrection is good news because they are no longer in charge, and neither is death. The Lord of life has risen again. It's a new world. A new world into which we step when we hear Jesus call us by name. Amen.